Welcome to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. Your host, Claudio Renaissance Man of WCOM, has finished straightening up outside and got the door open and brought in some guests with him, and we are ready to roll here. Hi, Claudio. Glad you're
good
back.
Good morning.
We missed you last
week. I'm not buried in the snow. Yeah, I actually haven't been here in 2 weeks, so thanks for running the ship for me.
Uh-huh.
So I enjoyed the show that you had 2 weeks ago, and you had the literary program?
Literacy Council.
Literacy Council, that's right.
Their readers and writers luncheon that they had, yeah.
I've been over at the Carolina Theater for that horror film fest. What was it called? The Nevermore Film Festival.
Right.
Peddling my art as well as at the Cotton Club in Wake Forest. So.
Yeah, how did that opening go?
Trying to stay at which one? Oh, the opening at Cotton Club.
At the Cotton Club.
It went well, except that was the night we all got snowed.
Yes, I realized.
So it was a snow job. It was amazing how many people still showed up.
Yeah.
I drove home from there close to midnight. There was no white line visible anywhere.
Yeah.
So, and the back roads I normally take home, I was the only one. I felt like I was in a Roman Polanski script.
Going home. Well, you're still showing there until what date?
Until March the 8th at the Cotton Company. And the Nevermore Film Festival was the 19th, 20th, and 21st, so that's done.
That one's over.
But some good things came out of that.
But good. And people can still go see your art over there at the
Absolutely.
Cotton Company.
Absolutely,
yeah. And if you want to find out more about that, you can just Google... Oh, not just Google. You can go online to www.thecottoncompany.net.
And that'll get you there.
And you're also doing some performance readings.
Yeah, I don't know when I'm going to be doing the next one, but just inquire with them. They'll know. They're going to let me know when the next opportunity is. But we had fun on opening night. I performed with Dave Cox, the blues guitar player and singer. And between the two of us, him singing blues and me spouting poetry like you do the blues, it worked out pretty nicely.
Is he ever going to come on Claudio Speakeasy?
Yes. So he's already agreed. Sometime in March we're going to have him on.
That's great.
He hasn't
that's
figured great. Out when he can get away from his real estate business. But
okay.
He's going to. Anyway, good morning, everyone. Wanted to introduce who is going to be on the show today before I introduce a few more things I got to go through. We have, and I'm going to say this name in German, the way it should be pronounced, Angelika Teuber, and also her partner, friend, PR person, Tara Lynn Brown, with the Living Poetry Project. So livingpoetry.net is, I think, how you can find it. Say good morning to the folks.
Yeah, hello out there. Hi, how are you doing?
Good morning.
It's been a while since I've been on radio. I feel like I need to just sort of stretch the cords again and get used to this.
Oh, with that voice, Claudio, that's always in tune.
Thank you. Pampering helps a lot. I want to point out very quickly that our sponsor, primary sponsor for Claudio's Speakeasy and Radio Theater, is the Carolina Theater of Durham, the historic Carolina Theater of Durham. And coming up, a few events I want to announce at the Carolina Theater. Wednesday, March 3rd, you got Crisette Michel with special guest Laura Izibor. Friday, Saturday, March 5th and 6th, you have the Golden Dragon Acrobats, which is always a great show to watch. Three great shows. Wednesday, March 10th, we have Train with special guest Butch Walker. Tuesday, March 23rd, George Thorogood and the Destroyers. Friday, March 26th, Most Valuable Player, the Jackie Robinson Story. Saturday, March 27th, Incognito. And Friday, April 16th, Ballet Hispanico. And then also on Saturday, June 19th, this is one I'm definitely going to be a part of. Al Jarreau and the George Duke Trio. I can't believe we're getting Al Jarreau. That's awesome. And coming up this Friday, I might be getting it wrong, 26th, I believe, would be the Monterey Jazz Festival, which is on tour. So just check out the Carolina Theater website and keep in tune to what's going on there.
I think that is Friday, isn't it?
I think it is Friday, yeah. Friday, yeah, it is. This Friday, so it'll have Kenny Barron, Regina Carter, Kurt Elling, and Russell Malone coming right up. I know they're putting in a heavy sound system for that one, so get ready for a show. Anyway, that's a big shout out to the Carolina of Theater. Carolina of Theater, where did I get that from? Carolina Theater. Boy, am I off course with my wheels turning here.
It's too early in the morning.
Yes, no Java for the start. You brought something to my attention this morning. Can you explain a little bit of that Jackie?
Well, it's about the actually I got that from Laura, emailed me, and it's about
Laura.
the condition for farm workers and with the spreading of pesticides, the drift, so that when they actually put a pesticide down on a particular area, it doesn't stay exactly where it lands.
Sure.
It drifts, and we got something that's
and
going
it's
on.
It's affecting children of these farmers and the entire communities. So we thought you might be interested in this United Farm Workers e-activism campaign, which you can find at action.ufw.org/EPADRIFT. That's E-P-A-D-R-I-F-T. Children in farming communities are on the front lines every day because they live, play, and learn near agricultural fields. Pesticides applied to fields don't stay put. They drift, vaporize, land in homes and on schoolyards. Current regulations don't account for reality. Rural and farm worker kids face this reality every day. They also live with more poverty and less health care than most of the rest of the nation. Thanks in part to advocacy efforts with our partners, the U.S. EPA is currently considering three related actions that would go a long way towards addressing the realities of pesticide drift exposure in farming communities. Stronger buffer zones, better drift labeling, and updated risk assessments. Please help and be a part of the solution. Sign the petition urging the EPA to protect farm worker children and tell your friends to do so. Join the UFW and their partners in this historic push for change. If we do this now, an entire generation will grow up with less childhood cancer, fewer development disabilities, and a better chance at life. Please join. Go to action.ufw.org/EPADRIFT. And that is just something I thought was well worth mentioning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's we need to take responsibility for our actions and the effect they have.
And we especially need to get the corporate entities to start taking responsibility. They want to be treated like an entity for tax purposes and otherwise, well, act like one.
Mm-hmm. A responsible entity. They are acting like an entity, but who knows what kind?
The ones that landed here to push us off the planet, pretty much. Anyway, Angelica, I want to talk about your sense of direction with poetry, which I think is a wonderful thing. As you know, I'm in that field myself, and find out exactly what it's all about. So the mic is yours.
Thanks, Claudio. I'm here with Tarlin, and the two of us are members of Living Poetry.
You are, of course, the founder.
I created the group, but it very quickly grew, and I couldn't do it without some key members
and
everybody who joins. I moved to Raleigh about 2 years ago and found myself fairly lonely in the first year, and I thought I have to do something about it. And I love poetry. I grew up in Germany, and the schooling system in Germany very much includes poetry in the curriculum in high school, very early on.
On a philosophical premise.
Right. Yeah. And so I've always appreciated poetry, and when I came here, I thought I would really like to gather with like-minded people and just read poetry. There was no requirement to be a poet, just a poetry lover. And I put up a meetup page. Meetup is an online company that offers to be online to get offline. So use the computer.
Interesting premises.
Yes.
A stepping stone.
Yes. And so I put it out there, and within a few weeks, we had like 30, 40 members, and Tarlin was one of the first ones. It's been ever since one of the most active ones, too. And because we've grown so much, we've actually started to have our own webpage, livingpoetry.net.
Wonderful.
Which is an addition to the meetup webpage, and we provide all sorts of information about contests, conferences, local activities.
Give us all these web pages as you go. You know, the way they can contact you and get to your website.
Yes.
And so on.
So just www.livingpoetry.net, and that gets you everything you need to know. And so that got us started. We started very small, one meeting a month, where we came together and read poetry. At the time, mostly established poets that have been published, classic all the way to modern. Mm-hmm. And we attracted, obviously, also poets. And so there was a request to actually create a workshop environment, and which we did in May. And we extended the reading evenings to two. And it just in July, we extended the workshops to two. And
I was going to say, explain the workshop environment. How does that play out?
Yes. The key to us is, even though you're providing feedback, meaning criticism, which can be a touchy subject,
no doubt.
Especially poetry, such a personal area in expressing yourself, our main focus is to stay positive, friendly, to have a welcoming environment, even though you might hear some tough news. So mm-hmm. the way we're getting together is we are coming prepared. The poems are being sent out before the workshop.
I see.
Yeah, yeah, everybody reviews it. That's sort of a requirement so that everybody can benefit. We come together, we review and critique our poems. We always have homework. So after the critiquing, we read our homework poetry. Mm-hmm. And then we have writing exercises. And so we get different people that like the different parts. Some have problems starting to write at home, mm-hmm. and they appreciate the writing exercises because that prompts them to think again in that mode. Others are rather prolific themselves, all by themselves, and they like the critiquing, which does shape you and make you a tighter, more concise poet.
You've got to be able to handle a few blows, yes.
Yes, you do. We typically eliminate whole stanzas and, and lines, so you do have to be able to...
No wringing out of your laundry here, please.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. And so it takes about two and a half hours, and we do this now twice a month. First Tuesday of the month, third Thursday. And we meet... I live in Briar Creek, so because I created the group, I... mm-hmm. reserve the right to determine that we meet mostly in Prior Creek. And for the workshops, we meet at Earth Fair.
And Earth Fair is...
I'm sorry,
Where is that? Sorry.
Off Prior Creek Parkway.
I see. Okay. I'm unfamiliar with the area. Sorry.
What is Earth Fair?
It's a Whole Foods type store.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
kind of like Weaver Street across the street here.
Yes, very much.
See, we plugged you.
Yeah.
They have a community room and everyone can go in there, and it's kind of off to the side of the cafe area.
Yeah. And for non-profit, they allow you to come to the community room for free.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. They're very active in the community mm-hmm. themselves, all kinds of different groups and events, and they welcome local groups to come to this place.
Perfect.
Yeah, which is very nice, especially if the group is a little bit bigger, then obviously homes, you know, are critical as they can only hold so many people. Yeah.
Unless somebody has a big backyard and it's a sunny evening or afternoon. Yeah.
Yeah. And
wonderful.
So we've taken really the group. We're trying to now go to the next level. We have an established core of people and we're now reaching out. We've started a poet local series where we are featuring local published poets to hear about their poetry, their passion, but also how did they get published. And it includes both being published by a publishing house or self-publishing. So we're not putting any restrictions on how you're being published, but how did you get out there? What do you do to maintain your profile in the community? So we want to hear about that, hear the experience. So that's what we're... Every other month, we're having that now on our schedule.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and for April is National Poetry Month, so we're ramping up. We're having an idea contest at the moment where you can submit ideas about what can we do internally in the group, but also how can we reach out to the community, senior citizens, kids, what can we do and be active in the community with the poetry.
Maybe going over to some of the rest homes and so on and doing readings and things of that nature.
Readings or even little workshops so that people mm-hmm. that are maybe stuck in a rut can learn to express themselves, find that creative fiber, you know, in their heart. And so
have an open mic night at the local retirement home.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Absolutely. Yes.
Wonderful idea. Some of them, Brian, never get off.
Yeah.
Got to drag them away. Leave the mic now.
Yes.
So, Tara Lynn, tell us about how you got involved and how you and Angelica mm-hmm. Met and your rank now as PR person and so on.
Yeah, I saw her group come about last winter, and I liked the idea of everyone. She originally had readings, and just to have somewhat similar to the Dead Poets Society when they would just get together and just mm-hmm. read, just for the enjoyment
Love
of
that movie. Yeah.
Yeah, just for the enjoyment of the words. And over time, it's amazing how over hundreds of years, how universal and still applicable that these themes are in today's life and in the world today. And just getting together just to read, and whether it was, you know, poets from the past or today and just local poets, just all the different works. And I enjoyed the monthly readings and all the different events that she's been organizing. So I've just been getting involved, and it just seemed to match up with, you know, what she needed. And
What are your influences, poetically speaking, as far as being a poet yourself?
Billy Collins and Frost and along those lines.
All right, so sort of a leaning somewhat toward the classics, which is very much my influence. Even the language, I still like the old wordsmithing when I put my literature together. I write for the sake of telling stories, no matter what medium I use. It's always, like Poe wrote The Raven, it's always something in that vein. What about your influences, Angelica?
Well,
other than obviously Goethe, Rilke, and what else?
German. I have to say, I stuck with the popular poets in Germany, so I didn't go very eclectic. But Hesse, I love Hesse, Hermann Hesse, Rilke, Eduard Mörike, very awesome poets. But that was one of the, I guess, awe-inspiring effects I had from creating this living poetry group, was that I all of a sudden had a look inside the American or English poetry, which they don't teach in German schools. And I finished all my schooling in Germany before I came to the States. And so all of a sudden I learned about Frost and even like troubled ones like Sylvia Plath and, you know, Anne Sexton. And I learned about their lives and what they wrote about. And that was fascinating. Every poetry session we had was sort of an eye opening into another world.
And Ted Kooser was one I'd never heard of, and now it's like my number one.
Yes, absolutely.
Favorite. It's like chocolate.
Explain. I'm not sure I know who Ted Kooser is. Who's that?
Go ahead.
What's his title? He's a former poet laureate.
Yes.
I see.
Somewhere in Middle America area.
Nebraska. He teaches at Nebraska University.
Mm-hmm.
I see, all right. And his influences are what? How would you define him?
That's kind of hard, I guess.
Yeah, he's very observant of situations and then puts the emotional layer under it without necessarily speaking it out loud. Very delicate poetry, very powerful. And, so we got, as we were preparing for the workshops, I had purchased a couple of books on workshops, how to lead them, what to pay attention to. And his book, The Home Repair Manual for Poetry, was one of the books I had picked up. And he does cite all kinds of poetry, but he also has some of his pieces in there and really got me hooked. And so I bought a book of his and I almost read every page to the to the poetry group in the then following meetings. And I think I got a couple more people hooked on Ted Kooser.
A similar thing happened to me when I first read Khalil Gibran, his book, The Prophet. To me, it became a wonderful interpretation of, I think, in many respects, what the Bible tries to convey, although I don't consider myself religious, more spiritual. And I just felt that his spiritual appreciation for everything, for every living thing, was just wonderfully portrayed in his language.
Yeah.
And amazingly, I've spoken to people from Persia that the English translation is quite good because it was in many cases done by people that he had something to do with.
Okay. So, interesting.
Done by friends of Gibran. So, it's amazing when something gets a hold of you, how you just want to go out there and express
Yes.
Do you know this? Have you heard this? Yeah. Shut up, listen.
And that's why I...
Shut up and listen. That's so friendly.
That's
yeah.
That's when you're just exploding with this news you've got to give the world.
Yeah, and I think, like Tara Lynn said, poetry is so universal and universally applicable to the heart. I cannot imagine not getting hooked, you know, so... That's why that is what motivates us. We've had many people join our workshops that said, "I've written poetry years ago, and then because of marriage and kids, or because of a hectic work life, that kind of ceased, and now they're interested in picking it back up." And that's where I get the joy. You know, that's what's wonderful to see, if you wake up that call again that sits inside.
Yeah. Well, let's switch over to having a bit of a literary moment, and if nobody minds, I'll lead the way. We're going to do our little radio theater throughout the show today instead of the last 10 minutes like we normally do. And I wanted to pay tribute to appreciate Angelica's work by a poem that she actually selected of mine from Seafarers. I think I told the story a few shows back, but it was inspired by a friend of mine that was it was from the Virgin Islands. I was chef at Bluebeard's Castle in St. Thomas. And had this wonderful black dishwasher who he could prepare one dish beautifully that I'd run once a month. He did this wonderful roti with goat, which was a wonderful dish, very very similar to lamb dishes. For those of you who are unfamiliar with the flavor of goat, it's quite similar, but it's an acquired taste, and I don't think most Americans have it. Nonetheless, this was the Virgin Islands of St. Thomas, so I had the excuse to go crazy in any direction I wanted. But Smitty and I used to sit around lunching a lot. He was just somebody that was fun to hang out with. And he could have done much more than be the pot washer, but he didn't want the stress of responsibility. He was a fisherman, and he washed dishes, and that's about as much as he cared about. He just liked having fun, and I'd really appreciated his spirit. And he told me the story of how he went out one day, and there was a bit of a wind that picked up on his little, literally, probably a boat, something in the vein of Ernest Hemingway's The Old Man and the Sea. You know, one of those sails that you have to tie by hand and rig, and it's just a boat, a tub to float in with a sail. But he caught his fish, and sometimes he came back with plenty, and sometimes he came back with just enough to feed himself. He said this one particular day the wind picked up and the boom flung loose from the vessel and knocked him overboard. And he felt himself passing out when he was in the water. And he knew that he had to get himself back on the boat or he wouldn't make it because he was two miles from shore. Mm-hmm. And so he managed to, with all his might, to pull himself back in, and then he just passed out. And when he came to, which was hours later, he was actually nearing another island, some 20 miles away from where he just left. But in the run of that conversation, I don't know how it came up, but I just asked him, I said, you know, if you had any say over how you would exit this life, you know, if you had a choice in that final exit strategy, what would your choice be? And he said, well, I would just set myself adrift one more time if I knew I was going to go and just tie the sails down and let the boat go wherever it wanted to and lay down there and speak to the big spirit until he was ready to take me and somewhere out at sea. And he wanted to be fed to the fish anyway.
That's
so
very nice.
And on the inspiration of that, I wrote Windsong. So, Smitty, this is for you. I think Smitty's passed on a long time ago because he was 70 when he told me this story. And that was in 77. This is for you, Smitty. Windsong. I've lived my life on foreign shores as a lover of the sea, drinking down my nevermores when they wouldn't set me free. I spent my years saluting winds which gave my sails direction, and ever was it plain to see my youth in my reflection. Though now I greet my autumn season like a leaf upon the wind, who in having lived by love and reason will bear myself once more to journey. This body, though merely a shell, has truly lived and served me well. These eyes, though rugged by the years, have smiled their smiles and shed their tears. So all in all, I am rejoicing upon the sea alone. For in the winds a spirit voicing, a call to bring me home. I pray the prayer of every sinner and poets much alike, that my spirit clothes me a winner upon that final hour's strike. And as I journey from here to hence, where there is neither gate nor fence, as an older man I must concede, a windsong now is all I need.
Wonderful.
Beautiful.
That's a beautiful Thank you. Poem.
Let's pick on something that you folks brought.
Okay. Tarlene and I decided to give you a taste of what our workshops inspire in us.
Wonderful.
So the poem I'm going to read actually comes from a homework assignment, which was a taboo poem. They gave us one term, and then they gave us six words that we could not use to write a poem. So the term we had to use, or that we
taboo, is that what you called it?
Taboo.
Taboo, okay.
Sorry.
That's okay. I just thought it was a new genre I completely missed.
No. Like the taboo haiku.
Yes.
Gotcha.
And so the term was heart, and we couldn't use blood and break and love. And I have one hiccup in there where I do use the word love once. Mm-hmm. But so that.
So you got an F for the assignment?
I got an F for the assignment, yes.
And this is a hiccup, is it?
This is a hiccup,
okay.
Yes. And the technique I used is actually from a friend of ours who is also part of our group, Glenn, who is a Carborough native. And he told me once about this technique where he looks up idioms on the internet and then sees what sort of story comes from those idioms. Mm-hmm. And that's the technique I've used. So the poem is called Matters of the Heart. You asked me for a heart-to-heart, confessing in your heart of hearts your heart was no longer in it. And hand on heart, you had a change of heart. With both of our best interests at heart, you're going to leave my heart behind. Abandoned, my heart sank, then stood still. We have been heart and soul. You were a man after my own heart. I loved you from the bottom of my heart with all my heart. Since I wear my heart on my sleeve, I poured out my heart telling you how this is tearing my heart apart and is making me sick at heart. I thought your heart was in the right place after you stole my heart of gold. I couldn't find it in my heart anymore to let someone with a heart of stone get close to my bare heart. I want to rip your heart out and strike at the heart of your heart. I cross my heart and hope you die.
Whoa.
That's telling it.
Put it out there.
I think it's amazing to link all those
phrases together
in a new way.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I've never heard that many hearts in all my life at one time. So.
Talk about repetition, right?
No, but well sewn together.
Very well
Thank
done.
You.
Especially like the brutal punch in the end after yes. after the zombie film festival I came from. That was the Nevermore Film Festival at the Carolina Theatre this weekend. Mm-hmm. Now you, Tyra Lynn, you're on the spot. I noticed you declined the first time. No chance this time.
I wrote this one from a prompt in a workshop from 2 months ago, and the poem has been selected to be published next month in Mused, a literary journal.
All right.
And
congratulations.
Tell us about the literary journal. Where is it from? What is it?
It's a community for women, so it's women writers and... Mm-hmm.
Strictly in your area?
No, it's online.
Oh, it's online, mm-hmm. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, it's Mused, and it's done through the Bella Online Literary Network, mm-hmm. or Literary Journal, and they publish on themes of, you know, women and nature and along those
right.
lines. This one, I wrote this based on the prompt of three different lines, which I'll give
and
to you.
And are we doing the haiku thing as well?
No, this is different. During the workshop, this one was where okay. everyone was given three lines and we all had to use them in our own, and then we all shared the poem that we created.
I see. Okay.
And we had, I think, was it 3 minutes to write this?
Mm-hmm.
So this is called Summer at the Cape. My mother buries herself in an old Daniel Steele novel every summer, while my sister buries me in sand on the Cape. It's always a month after the smell of spring has been singed from the earth by the summer sun. And I know our vacation is almost over when a man selling bananas trips over my shin in the sand where I'm buried up to my nose. And the lines that I was given were an old Daniel Steele novel, the smell of spring, and a man selling bananas. So that's
wow.
where they came from.
Very clever.
You did that very well.
Yes.
I was trying to think of what were the three lines.
Yeah.
It sounds so natural fitting
yes,
together, doesn't
absolutely.
It? Yes.
Just want to remind everybody out there, this is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theatre with Audrey Layden as the pilot, handling all the buttons and gadgets and music you hear, and my wonderful co-host. And then we also have Angelica Teuber, and Tara Lynn Brown. That mm-hmm. I can say much easier, although I can say it in German. It's just thinking from German to English is sometimes a short circuit. When I went over to Germany to do my apprenticeship from 15 to 18, I could speak German because we'd always spoken it at home, but it was basically English translations. I would literally go from the way I would say something in English and translate it the same way in German, and they picked me out every time until I started speaking German like a German did. They could tell I was from another country.
Yeah, of course.
They used to call me the Ami.
The Ami.
The American. Anyway, what was I going to do? Oh, I was just going to let people know that what this is, and we're actually combining the theatrical element throughout the show today, so don't worry that it's not the last 10 minutes of the show. It's going to be the entire show. So can we pick on you for another one?
Yes. Another homework assignment, actually.
Uh-huh.
We had selected a line that we then had to include in the poem or write a poem about. And the line was, "Does she know I have your keys in my pocket?" and we had wonderful poems.
I can just see that one. That one should have been titled, Where Are My Keys?
It's like, who is she?
Yeah, right. There's a lot of questions that arise.
Yes, and what was amazing to me was that typically you think of a triangle, right? I mean, there's this,
of course.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
There's the person who listens, the person who asks the question, and then there's the she, right? But I was amazed just by how many different angles we brought back. So it wasn't just the typical love triangle, but actually we had Pam, one of actually our the third member of the core team, yeah, facilitator. She had one about a grandma and a grandpa suffering Alzheimer's, so she had to take the key, the car key, you know. And so just very different angles to that question that seems very obvious in the beginning. So I wrote a short poem called Girlfriends. Last night at your birthday party, I met one of your girlfriends. While nursing our cocktails, hers electric blue, strawberry red, mine, she told me how much she appreciates your friendship, how close you are, sharing everything, trusting each other with your most intimate details. How special and rare that is, something she wished for me too. Does she know I have your keys in my pocket?
Very nice.
Bravo, that is catchy.
Very nice.
Well, Tara Lynn, how about another one from you?
Yes, I just based on, you know, Glenn Cassidy in our group, he has all these unique ideas with, I guess, modern influences with Facebook and everything and with poetry. And I was something that I just have, I find endearing is missed connections. And there a few years ago, I don't know if you remember, there was a gentleman on a New York subway and he saw a girl and he thought it was love at first sight, but he didn't have the courage to go talk to her, and she got off the train and he couldn't find her. So he created a website trying to track her down, and they eventually, I think, got together, but they just dated for a few months.
They connected.
They connected.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
okay.
But it didn't work out or anything. But on Craigslist, there's a missed connection section, and it's just, I find it so entertaining to go in and you read, and it's kind of, it's nice to know there's so many people that have such strong feelings, but there's just so many in just our area that every day there's these misconnections around, and no one, you know, says anything about it, but they post these anonymous things, you know, trying to reconnect. So I read a whole bunch, and I selected a line from all different postings, and each of these lines is from an actual posting in our area here.
Okay.
So it's called Misconnections. Here it goes. Any man that has the chance to even meet you should consider himself very lucky. I just wanted to let you know. I think about you now and then. You were watching some Fox 50 on the plasma and laughing. I love your smile. Yesterday you told me that you used to be vegan. Really, I don't give a crap what you eat. I ran into you as I was headed to the restroom earlier today. Could not stop looking at you. I wish only there was a way to know how you were. We are so worried that we will do something to scare off the other, but it hurts more to be alone, especially so long after having felt what it could be like to be so close. We should meet in the middle somewhere. Say hello and shake my hand and ask about the weather in Hawaii. Something great will happen to you tomorrow.
Good note.
Very nice. Very nice.
And this is all out of scattered words that you put together.
Yeah, just these are, each line was from a different missed connection in the area.
Well, I'm going to follow that up with something I wrote. I have a wonderful penmanship friendship with Ray Bradbury. They call him a science fiction author, but he actually considers himself more of fantasy, which I definitely see. And what I did some years ago, and the reason I responded to her catching these words, I took all of the titles to all of his books and used it as my language in the poetry, and I also used it as an excuse to meet him. A friend of mine from the symphony, I was performing with the North Carolina Symphony, narrating some of their classics. A violinist saw this and said, does he have this? And I said, no, how do I get a hold of him? This was years ago. And said, well, if we can't find the connection to him, let's just send it to his publisher. And I said, under what guise? He said, but why don't you ask him for permission to perform this, because you're using so much of his language? And I thought, great idea. So I sent it, and within 3 or 4 weeks, got a letter back from Ray himself. This goes 7-8 years back, and we've since been in touch steadily.
Wow.
Gotten all my books signed and doodled by him.
Wonderful.
He's a wonderful old soul, still an amazing mind. He's got to be about in his 80s now.
He just published a book last year, I believe.
Yeah. He's, so he's his mind is still incredible. And this is my tribute to him. It's called, I had called it, originally I'd called it The Journeys Bradbury. And so he, when he approved my performing the work, he changed the title to Journey to Bradbury. So I can actually say that Ray gave me the title. But I did the same thing. I used the titles to his books. Journey to Bradbury. A realm of the psyche. Nebula and paradox. Mindful, mindless, fertile, barren, seasonal and seasonless, quicker than the eye. A medicine for melancholy, in a graveyard for lunatics. A journey to far metaphor, long after midnight, somewhere in yestermorrow. The soul's twilight in kaleidoscope, where death is a lonely business, and the body sung electric by the machineries of joy, for one timeless spring in the October country. Where R is for rocket, S is for space, and something wicked this way comes. A zen in the art of writing when elephants last in the dooryard bloomed alongside the Halloween tree. Where Martian chronicles were drunk with dandelion wine in a dark carnival of woes, and Fahrenheit 451 burns the golden apples of the sun, melting the Toynbee convector into metaphor and fertile lore for the stories of Ray Bradbury, himself the illustrated man. Amid green shadows, observing the white whale, pondering Melville and Moby Dick. Across the diamond-studded lawns of certain omnipresent dawns, where laughter coils upon a swing with ghosts of memory gathering. The windstone countenances of days gone by, the mother's laugh, the father's cry. The tale that ever wagged the pup, whose absence is but sorrow's cup. A mirror to man's twilight and oblivion, yet a voice to nature's rage. To journey to Bradbury, you need only turn the page.
Wow. Very, very nice.
Yes.
That was fun to write.
Yes, I'm sure.
I just looked at this whole map of language and go, okay, how do I put this together? And the reason I pointed, I went toward pondering Melville and Moby Dick, was because Ray Bradbury was hired by John Huston years ago to write the script for Moby Dick.
Oh, right.
So he does tie in with that. Mm-hmm. It was a journey to Ireland he hated.
I wondered about that. I said, well, he didn't write Moby Dick.
How did he get to Moby Dick? I wanted to explain the relevance. So I actually sent my copy of Moby Dick to Ray Bradbury to sign, so he drew this whale on there, and he went screenplay only. Right. So that one's to you, Ray. I'm dedicating to friends today. So back to one of you two. What do you want to throw on the plate?
All right, I have a personal poem. It was a homework assignment. We said we should look at our lives. And actually the idea came from Tara Lynn because she had a high school or college assignment once where you sort of listed all the special things in your life in a poem. So we had a similar assignment. Take something that's from your own life's biography and write about it. And I wrote a couple on this, but I want to just read one. And I made it about my emotional journey, and so it's very personal, and it's called Pain. I have had my head split open several times. I have broken my bones in countless places. I have healed from more cuts and burns that I care to remember. I have been bitten by dogs, leading to blood poisoning. I have fallen off horses and torn up my knee on St. Patrick's Day. I've gotten myself into fights and caught a handful of sand in my eyes. I've lost consciousness from heat stroke and pain medication, but the two dental surgeries might have been the worst of all the painful events. Yet, this is nothing compared to the severity of the hurt caused by being dumped by my first love for another girl one grade up. Oh, I apologize. Seeing my close friend being hit by a car crossing the street, having to put down my dog after 12 years of furry love, the emotional abuse and continuous neglect of my mother, being kicked out of my marriage unwillingly by my husband, seeing my sister low and depressed and being utterly helpless, losing someone very dear without whom my world seems deprived. Physical pain is immediate and short-lived, unlike its brother. The agony of the heart is a steady companion, a house guest who has overstayed its welcome, one you still sit down and have a glass of wine with for many months to come, someone you give up a piece of your heart for, the price you pay for living, a sacrifice to life.
Bravo.
That's wonderful.
You got another one, Tara?
Yes. One of the things that I've always... I'm jealous of Angelica because she's gone on road trips twice around the country and just explored. I've just always wanted to do that. And I'm fascinated with the open road and traveling. So one of the images I kind of saw while I was on vacation last year stayed with me, and I wrote this based on it. And I'll share the image at the end. But it's called Joyride. There is something about the phrase road trip that lends enormous possibility. The largest ball of twine could be around the next corner. The driver's tan browns your left arm. No one expects us anywhere. We don't expect anything. Everything is a treasure. The rolling numbers at the gas station pump let us pretend we drove back in time, snapping the tops off glass Coke bottles, eating pie beneath chrome roofs of interstate diners. In the evening, you pull beside a field, blast the oldie station, and we dance in the headlights. My favorite part is during the day when the sun warms my bare feet on the dashboard. And when you're driving, I see bare feet on the dashboards everywhere, whenever
we've
on the interstate.
We've got the ride. We'll roll.
So I really like that image, and that stayed with me. So
that was pretty cool. I like that. I remember that from my motorcycle days. That's exactly what I'd accept. Mm-hmm. I just
drive
put the
your
legs forward.
Bare feet. Your feet on the...
No, with my... Well, actually, sometimes on the handlebars, depending
on
what the stretch was.
I'm glad you gave it up, Claudio. I'm glad you hung up your motorcycle. Yeah.
Just in time.
Hung up. Oh, goodness. Do you feel like... honoring us with a reading? I didn't know if I was putting you on the spot with that, but
well,
I thought
you did
you'd
put me on the spot, but then you're stuck too. With whatever comes out.
Okay. I just
this
asked,
is one of yours.
Yes, I just asked Audrey to read something as a tribute to our soldiers.
Ravages unseen. It is a truth in the heart of every soldier that nobody really wins in war. The losses which are most extreme are those within that brace the dream, that in the darkness of war's plight strike dim our sanctuary of light, where ravages endured and seen struggle to reach for some esteem. It is the weary soldier's lot our sin of strife to bear. Their courage may not be forgot, lest we drink deep of their despair. So welcome from the battlefields of yesterday's remorse, we gratefully extend our hearts and bid your souls upon their course. For any warmth we may exude, come to us as a friend. Together we may conquer all that wars bring to no end.
And that's from the heart. I think sometimes I think our soldiers are confused for our politicians. Oftentimes they are themselves. You know, if they're in a position to disapprove of what's going on, I'm afraid that they're stuck with serving what their politicians tell them to do, even if they occasionally disagree.
I think it is one of the most heartbreaking things to see the manipulation of our youth.
Absolutely. It tears me apart.
And you get these youngsters who are putting their heart and soul into, really and truly, to go out there to save the country under the manipulation and the...
Under the DC machine, yeah.
The delusions that are being fostered upon them. I mean, it's criminal. It's not close to criminal. It is criminal.
It is criminal, absolutely. No, that's
I think I've always thought war is a crime anyway.
I've talked...
It's not war crimes. War itself is a crime.
I've talked to any kid I know out of joining the military, because I just think the whole system is way too corrupt and they're not being told the truth. I believe they themselves have a sense of honor, but they are not serving the honorable.
Well, that's what's so heartbreaking, is to see their honor,
yes,
their honesty, their bravery, their courage distorted into less than
political
honorable
aims.
Ends.
Literally political aims.
Yeah, it's taking beauty and throwing it in the ground and jumping on it.
Absolutely.
It's disgusting.
So that's our thought from the Speakeasy, and that was Ravages Unseen, as read by Audrey Layden. And we are going to go back to Angelica.
Before I read my next poem, I just would like to say again that if you are interested in poetry, in participating in poetry, in the Durham, Raleigh, Chapel Hill area, please visit us at www.livingpoetry.net. Any affiliation with poetry, you do not have to write it, you can just love it. If you're interested in performing it, any venue, just come and join us. We'd be more than happy to have you. Especially with April coming up as the poetry month, we're planning a couple of day trips. We're planning poetry in the park. We sometimes have themed readings. For example, this month's poetry reading on Wednesday was under the international banner, and we read poetry in different languages. We had even a poem read in Klingon and translated. Yes.
Can you read Klingon?
I cannot. No, but our poet friend Bart Barker can. So
because a friend of mine told me not so long ago that the Klingons were actually the Germans in outer space.
Okay. Yes, and actually,
and to some degree, I would agree. And I say that as a German. So
funnily enough, it was a love poem, and it so did not sound like love poems.
Yes.
So. Just open invitation to anybody who is interested.
Wonderful. I have a feeling you're going to get some feedback on that.
Yeah. The next poem actually was inspired by Ted Kooser. We had mentioned him before, and he had written a pocket poem, and sort of that idea stuck with me. And his essence was that when his love would read the poem, he just wanted the poem to be warm and basically her feel the closeness of him. And I thought, I have a cherished phrase that I used to carry around with me for years and years when I was in my late teens. And so it has a bit of German in it. And so here goes my pocket poem. Zweifel sind Verräter, die ein Gut entziehen, das wir erreichten, wenn den Versuch wir wagten. Which is Shakespeare translated. Our doubts are traitors and make us lose the good we oft might win by fearing to attempt. That was something that helped me overcome doubt and fear when I was younger. And so my poem goes, the paper in my pocket with my favorite quote advising to push past doubt is so thin I can see the individual paper fibers. It is dissolving from frequent folding and returning to my pocket, sweat of my hands and my eyes eating up the words. As the paper is vanishing, the quote is migrating to a new home, moving from papyrus to the fiber of my heart.
Beautiful. Do we have you standing by with another, Tara?
I do have another. This one's modeled after a Billy Collins poem. I believe it's titled I Went Back for a Book. And
the library was gone.
The premise is that he goes, he's leaving for a doctor's appointment, and then he goes back to his house for a book, and he acknowledges that there's this, it's similar to like the movie Sliding Doors, like if you go one way, that there's another ghost of you that's traveling on another path. Also mentioned in Slacker and Waking Life type of films. So this, I use that same premise, just in a different situation. And it's called On the Open Road, and I shared it with the group last week, and Bart mentioned that it reminds him of a Walt Whitman poem that perhaps Billy Collins was modeling after, and I didn't realize that, so maybe this has been interpreted three times.
Yes, who knows? I think we tend to feed off each other in that regard anyway, right. So yes.
So this is called On the Open Road. I clench the warm keys in my hand. I leave my husband a note on the counter and get into my car, driving off on the open road. Another me that didn't have the courage to leave wanders the house with walls still bare because the tightness of his wallet was stronger than any love. Haunted inside this haunted house, another marriage clung to in fear of shame, in fear of loneliness that sees no freedom. Sometimes I think I see her, feigning interest at a restaurant, with her husband stuffing his face, president of the Clean Plate Club. But there is no freeing her, no way to make him look the other way, and tell her to run into the car and speed away like a sparrow darts from a hawk. Unless I decide to go back to the loveless house and to throw her in the car and free her myself. But I know there is no saving her. Why she has no strength, I don't know. She is out there with him always, folding his Swiss cheese underwear and wincing at the alcohol she sees him steal before breakfast. Should she be cursed to stay, my married self, stuck because she wasn't keen enough to find the car keys her husband hid. The ones I found hidden in the swampy stench of his shoes one morning, the ones I took before I left a note on the counter and drove off on the open road.
Aha.
Yeah, very nice. Courageous.
Yes. I'm going to add a little love poem to that. as you folks can tell, I'm very fond of rhyme, although I write in all mediums of poetry, but rhyme happens to be one that I really feel captures my emotional conveyance particularly well. I try not to make it predictable rhyme. This is something I wrote at sea called Bonnie. I wanted to write, "My Bonnie lies over the ocean," but that was already written, so... Bonnie. Drifting together like two currents on a wayward journey home, where the ocean meets the shoreline and the froth recedes to foam. When the distances are conquered and the ravages are run, another journey is yet ensuing, another pilgrimage begun. So embrace me with emotion and the song you hold inside, like the moon ignites the ocean and its rhythms rain the tide.
Wonderful.
Thanks.
I'll give you one that I wrote a long time ago, and I remember it because it's really short. And it's called Celebrating Touch.
All right.
And it's, "Life, I celebrate your touch. Sing a hymn to your caress. Turn my face," and I'm missing it up.
Uh-oh.
"Life, I celebrate your touch, sing a hymn to your caress. Feel your soft breeze on my lips, parted lips, surrender to your wantonness. Turn my face to your blazing sun, warming through my tousled hair, and thank the Lord for things undone, yet to know and still to share."
Beautiful.
Very brief and easy to remember.
Who was the... You wrote that?
Yes.
Wonderful. Beautiful.
That one's mine from...
I thought that was from some classic author.
Oh, well.
No, of course, that's you. It's
she
Audrey.
She sits right here.
She sits here, exactly. Our gifts unchecked. So we've still got a few minutes left. So we're still on the safe side. If you folks want to deliver another poem, give us your website one more time.
Yeah. www.livingpoetry, one word, livingpoetry.net. Net is important. Also, just wanted to say that... we've started a new... We had a first anniversary party in January, and I had sort of the idea...
And this is for the forming of this particular...
Yes, of this particular group.
Yes.
Correct. And I had this idea from, obviously, TV, but as well as work, to play a game of poetry Jeopardy. And so I put a whole bunch of questions together in the categories of first lines, last lines, but also poets, film... And I can't remember now the category, the last one. But anyways, it was a lot of fun, even though it turned out all the questions were too hard. Because obviously I had time to sit at the computer and look up Wikipedia and, you know, all those other web pages.
There once was a man from where? Yes.
But what was interesting was, despite the fact that most of the questions went, or most of the answers went unquestioned, everybody just had a really good time. And so I thought it was a really interesting fact that something rather mundane, like a TV show game, played with the content of poetry could be so engaging and so much fun. Mm-hmm. And so they've asked for more, obviously more easy questions. But so we're going to put that on now quarterly. So the next Jeopardy evening will be in April and then in July. And so.
And this will be a part of the group.
That
gathering.
Will be part of the group events.
Okay, not
yes.
something done on the computer, but
no,
live.
No, yes, gotcha. Live, when we get together. Okay, I have...
Poetry Jeopardy, there we
Poetry
go.
Jeopardy, yes. I can send you the pack and you can test your knowledge.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That would
poetry.
Be fun.
It's funny, you know, I was just thinking. I was just thinking. I was having another thought about Poetry Jeopardy when you use poetry to seduce someone or to romanticize someone, then you realize this is not really somebody you want to be around. You just put yourself in jeopardy with poetry.
That's always a danger. Always a danger.
Yeah, right. Okay, going with the theme of Tara Lynn's poem, sometimes you can be in difficult relationships, and relationships that even if you manage to come out of, will actually haunt you quite a while to kind of recover yourself and collect the pieces you've left behind. And as you recover, you find out things that were done to you that you didn't even notice while you were in the relationship. Mm-hmm. So situations like that, partially my own, but partially seen in friends, inspired this poem called You. You behind the mask of innocence, behind these lies and secrets, behind conceit and arrogance, you have been caught. You are not as smart as you think. You have left faint traces in the blind spot of my soul. Today I bothered to look. I'm finally taking stock now, remembering the many crimes you've committed over the years, trying to kill my validity for being. You should be tried in court for repeated attempted murder, and you go free, lacking evidence. Yet no, you have been caught.
Okay.
Yes, I wonder if he was listening.
I doubt he does.
I think we're going to have to bring the show to a wrap at this point. We've got the next folks coming on. So, Angelica, I want to thank you for being here. Tara as well.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. It was a pleasure.
This was great fun. Great fun.
And Audrey, thank you for flying this rusty bucket.
My pleasure.
This is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theatre signing off. Until next week, when we have Jen Chapin calling in, the daughter of Harry Chapin. I'll see you on the radio. Cheers.